Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. U.S. Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey and his wife have been indicted on federal corruption charges. The case was unsealed Friday in federal court in Manhattan. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
Prosecutors say Menendez took hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes in exchange for using his power as a senator to try to protect and enrich three New Jersey businessmen who were also charged. According to the indictment, at the behest of one of the businessmen, Menendez, who now chairs the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, took actions to benefit the government of Egypt. He also allegedly tried to influence state and federal investigations related to his co-defendants. Federal prosecutors say in exchange, Menendez received cash, gold bars, and a Mercedes convertible, among other items. In a statement, Menendez calls the allegations baseless and says that prosecutors have misrepresented the normal work of a congressional office. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
The UAW Friday expanded the week-long strike against the big three automakers to 38 parts centers in 20 states, although Ford Motors was untouched in this latest round of walkouts. One of the newly hit facilities is located in Central Florida. For member station WMFE, Danielle Pryor has more.
Dozens of workers wearing red UAW hats and shirts and carrying UAW on strike signs walked out of the Stellantis parts factory outside of Orlando at noon. Among them was Local 1649. President Bernard Stewart, who is originally from Detroit. He says it feels good to be in solidarity with his fellow workers in the Motor City, asking for the same things.
Fair wages, that's number one. Better health care, better retirements. You know, we want pensions for the ones that don't have pensions. I mean, there's like a number of things, and the company basically doesn't want to give on anything so far.
The strike against Ford Motor Company continues in Detroit. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Pryor in Orlando.
Saying he's determined to stop gun violence in the U.S., President Joe Biden Friday launched the first-ever federal office that's dedicated to finding solutions to stop such violence. The new Office of Gun Violence Prevention is being led by Vice President Kamala Harris.
We agree that in a civil society, the people must be able to shop in a grocery store, walk down the street, or sit peacefully in a classroom, and be safe from gun violence.
The new office also hopes to support communities that have been affected by gun shootings. Wall Street ended its worst week in 6 months on Friday. The S&P 500 slipped 0.2% after a modest gain held for much of the day was erased. The Dow, meanwhile, fell 106 points, while the Nasdaq Composite dropped 0.1%. Treasury yields eased a bit after hitting their highest levels in more than a decade earlier in the week. You're listening to NPR News. Officials in Eagle Pass, Texas, are requesting federal help for thousands of migrants who have been arriving at the city's border this week. They're hoping to get the money through a disaster declaration. Local Democrats, however, are criticizing the Republicans. They say the issue is being blown out of proportion. Texas Public Radio's Gage Davila reports.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott took to X, formerly Twitter, on Thursday, saying Texas National Guard were preventing migrants from crossing in Eagle Pass. However, many migrants did cross and were processed by Border Patrol, then taken by bus to a nearby shelter. Over 4,000 have come to the border city in the last week, but not all at once. Juanita Martinez, Maverick County Democratic Party chair.
It's very frustrating for the Republicans to be spreading this propaganda, painting a picture of our community that is absolutely false. It's fear-mongering, and it serves their political agenda.
Martinez adds because of Eagle Pass's mayor reinstating a disaster declaration, she feels the organizing the party did on behalf of the community is back to square one. For NPR News, I'm Gage Davila in Eagle Pass.
A privately owned high-speed train service began carrying passengers between Orlando, Florida and Miami on Friday. The Brightline train cost $5 billion to build and makes the trip in 3.5 hours, which is the same as a car ride. The launch of the new service was marred by the death of a pedestrian, though, who was hit in South Florida on a section of the track that's being used for that new route. I'm Dale Willman, and you're listening to NPR News.